Amen. Thank you, Father, through our Lord, Mashiach Yahushua. This is part two of the New Earth. A little refreshing, a refreshing part, refreshment. It's refreshing, but let's go to Isaiah 65:17, kind of where we left off. Yeah, and Isaiah is really overlooked by, I think, majority of the body of the Christ. You know, if you want a creed, you know, a creed is a statement of beliefs. The book of Isaiah has all of it in the book of Isaiah. I did a teaching on this. It's also on our website, the Creed of Isaiah. It has everything except, you know, the new heaven and the new earth. It has the Mashiach coming. It has introducing who Yahweh is, everything on how to receive life, age abiding, the second death, everything that you want to know except for the sacred secret. But everything else is there, so our statement, our belief should be the same way too. So 65, we'll just read a little verse, 17, we need to keep account of that. For behold me creating new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be mentioned, neither shall they come up on the heart. And it goes all the way through here. So we're going to go to Isaiah 2. And Isaiah is, the book of Isaiah is full of the new earth. Verse 1. That which Isaiah, son of Amos, saw in vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem. But it shall come to pass in the after part of the days that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be set up as the head of the mountains and be exalted above the hills. We see a lot of that time, the mountain of Yahweh, and that is Jerusalem, or Mount Moriah. And all the nations shall stream thereunto, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us ascend unto the mountain of Yahweh, unto the house of the Elohim of Jacob, that he may teach us of his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and that's what you see the mountain is Zion, and the word of Yahweh out of Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations and be umpire to many peoples, and they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. That's Joel 3:10. Nation against nation shall not lift up sword, neither shall they learn any more to make war. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Isn't that just beautiful? This is our hope. This is what it's all. It's not heaven. It's not death. We've been all distracted. It is the new earth where, like Aaron would say many times, this is the audition. And so everybody in life, Yahweh, I started thinking about
basic training.
Well, you're choosing. You get to choose which way you want to go. Yahweh has given us an intellect and a mind where we can become so holy and so good that somebody will actually die in the place of another person. You know, that is remarkable. Animals aren't going to do that generally. But we can also go so dark with our thoughts. And when everybody's had that, all of a sudden you got some thought, you're like, holy mackerel, where did that come from? That is evil. And so we've got that. We can go so light and also so dark, and so we get to choose. What do you want? Light, which is going to make it hard on the earth, because the earth is going to be darkness. Or you can go darkness and live for today and then pay the price later on. Mm-hmm. And so we are here choosing the other way. We're choosing the walking light. But what a privilege that is to be able to make that decision, that I can actually have the mind of Elohim, the Ruach HaKodesh, which is, you know, which is spirit, the holy. And Ruach can mean breath. I got the breath of the living Elohim abiding within me, where I can just transcend, like Yahushua did, into a place where people are killing, murdering, and torturing you.
She was talking.
And you're living to save that person on the cross. You know, Lord, remember me when they're in that kingdom. And all of a sudden, you're on duty after you might have been up there for 4 hours. being tortured, and you're still helping people. Wow. And that's our potential. Now, we see that in Isaiah 2, but let's just also go to, Isaiah 11, verse 1. Yeah, this is going to talk about, there's not three gods. There's no Trinity. There's no God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There is Yahweh and Yahushua. And here we're going to talk about the sprout of Yahweh. And the sprout of Yahweh, if it says of Yahweh, it says it's coming from Yahweh. And that is Yahushua, the prophecy. 11:1, but there shall come forth a shoot from the house of Jesse and a sprout, and that's Shumach, from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Ruach, that's interesting too, the spirit in its Latin form means breath. So we lose that. We almost give it a whole other meaning. And so Ruach can mean breath, it can mean wind, it can mean air and motion. But just we've got to remember breath. So and that's what spirit actually means is breath. And we can see that we've got expired. Expired is breath. Inspired, aspire. And it all means breathing in. Expire means to breathe out. And he expired. He died. And so we got that in our situation. So I'm going to change the word spirit and not change it, but just say breath. 2, and the breath of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the breath of wisdom and understanding, the breath of counsel and might, the breath of knowledge and reverence of Yahweh. So you will find fragrance in the reverence of Yahweh, Yahushua. This is the Shemach. And not by the sight of his eyes will he judge, nor by the hearing of his ears will he decide. He will judge with righteousness them who are poor, and decide with equity for the oppressed of the land. And he will smite the land with the scepter of his mouth, and with his breath, that is Ruach.
Wow.
Rotham at this time translates it, breath, the breath of his lips, will he slay the lawless one. And the righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness in the girdle of his reign. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. Now look at this. And you talk to a Darwinist. There's no Darwinist. But you think about that, that a carnivore become a herbivore. Well, yeah. It's right here. Well, that's impossible. No, it isn't. It's going to happen. And the leopard with the kid shall lie down, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together with a little child leading them. And the cow with the bear shall find what?
Pasture.
Together shall their young ones lie down, and the lion like the ox shall eat straw. And the suckling child shall caress over the hole of the asp, yea, over the viper's den hath the winged child stretched out his hand. They shall not hurt nor destroy all of my holy mountain. There's the holy mountain again. And holy means separate mountain. For filled is the land with the knowledge of Yahweh, and the waters to the sea form a covering. Wow, so that just gives you an idea. Let's go to Zechariah 14. Verse 1 through 11. Page 910.
14.
Zechariah, page 910. Are you on 910?
Yeah.
It's at the very left page at the bottom.
Chapter 13.
It's at the bottom of that same page.
Oh, damn.
Lo, day cometh, pertaining to Yahweh, when a portion shall be thy spoil in thy midst. Yea, I will gather all the nations unto Jerusalem to battle. You see, everything's around Jerusalem. And we see that in the book of Revelation. Megiddo and all these battles are going to happen in the Middle East. And the city shall be captured, and the houses plundered, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into exile, but the remainder of the people shall not be cut off out of the city. Then will Yahweh go forth and fight against those nations, just as he did in the day when he brought in the battle, in the day of battle. Yea, his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave asunder from the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. All right, so we got, you know, east towards the west, an exceedingly great valley. So the valley is going to be this way. So you have a mountain, and it's going to be ripped, and the valley is going to be right in between, because when it goes to the west, it's going into the Mediterranean, if you look at Jerusalem. And when it goes to the east, it's going to go into the Jordan River. And the Jordan River ends up, you know, we look at Lake of Galilee, is 250 feet below sea level. So you say it can never go, you know, and it ends up in the Dead Sea, which is 1,400 feet below sea level. Mm-hmm. So it can never go into the Indian Ocean. So, but when everything gets raised up, it's going to go to the Indian Ocean. So we're going to see right here. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave asunder from the midst thereof towards the east and toward the west, an exceedingly great valley, and half of the mountain shall give way towards the north, and half of it towards the south. Then shall ye flee to the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach very near. Yea, ye shall flee just as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. I always want to see that. That's referred to quite a bit, the earthquake in Uzziah. It must have been quite an event. Then shall arrive Yahweh my Elohim, all thy holy ones with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that there shall be no light. The bright stars shall be withdrawn, and it shall be a day by itself. The same shall be known unto Yahweh, not day nor night. They shall come to pass at evening time there shall be light. And it shall come to pass in that day that there shall go forth living waters. And you see this in Revelations 21. Out of the Jerusalem, half of them into the sea before, and half of them into the sea behind. Mm. And so that goes into the Mediterranean and the Indian Ocean. Otherwise it can't, right now the land has to be raised. In summer and in winter shall it be. So will Yahweh become king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Yahweh, and his name be one. And all the land shall turn into a plain from Yeba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and shall lift herself on high and abide in her own place, and the gates of Benjamin up to the place of the first gate, up to the corner gate, from the tower of Haniel up to the winepress of the king. So shall men dwell therein, and utter destruction shall not be any more, but Jerusalem shall abide in security. Boy, that's just great. Let's go to Revelations 20. And Revelation is a Hebrew book. You know, it quotes, I think, hundreds of times the Old Covenant.
They quote what?
The Old Covenant. There's quotes, and you know, Hebrews is first, and then Revelation actually surpasses the book of Hebrew. That they quote. And it ties it all together. Genesis begins the creation, and Revelation completes it. 24:6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and a sentence of judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them who had been beheaded because of the witness of Yahushua, and because of the word of Yahweh, and such as had not done homage unto the wild beast. And so this is not really our calling. Are in line, are you going to bow to darkness, or are you going to be persecuted by darkness? Well, we choose to be persecuted by darkness. And these people chose to be persecuted by darkness, and they were murdered because of that. The wild beast, or into his image, nor had received a mark upon their forehead or upon their hand, and they lived. And then we think, what is the mark? And that's another thing, too. The mark of the beast is the Trinity. You know, and three gods. And right now, if you don't receive that mark, all right, you're not a Christian. In this Christian circle. You know, the two groups that have elected out, basically, in the way of ministry, but Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, and to them they're abomination, because they will not receive the mark of the beast, which is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they lived and reigned with the Christ for 1,000 years. And stop there. But you can read the rest of it. Chapter 21, 1 through 4. And so 20 is 1,000-year reign. Where? In heaven? No, on the new earth. Well, now let's just keep going with her. You will see in 4 that there's a resurrection. If everybody's already in heaven, the dead are never dead. And so today, that's a teaching out of the beast also. The people don't die, and we know that with in Genesis. So Yahweh says in Genesis 2:17, dying, you do die. And the word is muth, M-U-T-H, and in that sentence, most translations will say, you shall surely die. And they're translating, it's dying, you shall die, because muth is death, is used twice in that sentence. And in the King James, it says, you shall surely die. It's only going to have die once in there.
And what does that mean?
Well, it really means dying, you shall die. That's okay, emphatic. Yeah. Okay. And so even if you said, you shall surely die, they're trying to make it also emphatic. Not that you shall die, okay. No, you shall surely die, or dying, you shall die. And what is, the serpent say? Die in Genesis 3:4, dying, you do not die. But we'll be in heaven. Because you have an immortal soul. And that's the teaching of the church today. The serpent has the same teaching in the Christian church. Because they want to believe, that death connects us with into heaven. And we don't have to wait for the Lord. His parousia coming to be resurrected. We'll just leave our bodies. And that is Greek metaphysics. But we saw that, and it says in 5, very simply, the rest of the dead live not. Revelation 20, verse 5. This is all the way through. The rest of the dead live not until 1,000 years were ended. Well, wait a minute. To the church, everybody's alive someplace. Mm-hmm. They're either in hell, or in Catholics, they're in purgatory, they're in hell, or you're in heaven. Or limbo. You got places all over the place, but everybody's alive because nobody ever dies because we have this immortal soul, which there is no such thing.
Insert the word.
But there are the 5, the rest of the dead live not until 1,000 years were ended. I mean, how much simpler can this be? And let's keep going. This is the first resurrection. Happy and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Everybody's already been in heaven. No, and we're going to find that out. Everybody's not in heaven. But Revelation 21, 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea is no more. And the holy city, New Jerusalem, saw I coming down out of heaven from Yahweh, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice out of the throne saying, the tent of Yahweh is with men. Well, I thought everybody's already in heaven. The tent of Yahweh is with men right now. No, the tent of Yahweh is with men, and he will tabernacle with them. I thought they're with him right now. See, everything just contradicts with these demonic teachings. And they shall be his people, and he shall be Elohim with them, and he will wipe away every tear out of their eyes. Well, I thought their tears already wiped out from their eyes. And the dead shall be no more, and grief and outcry and pain shall be no more, and the first things have passed away. Now we go to this new earth. This is the new earth. Well, what about heaven then? What's this teaching about heaven? Well, Revelations 4 and 5. Who's in heaven and who's not in heaven right now? It's right here in 4 and 5.
What?
Revelation chapter 4. We're going to see who is in heaven. And you just got to read both chapters. We're going to just glean just a little bit. 1 through 3. After these things, I saw, and lo, a door set open in heaven. Okay. And this is John, Yohanan. His name is actually Yohanan. Is Yahweh his favor? And speaking with me, saying, come up hither, and I will point out to thee the things which must need come to pass. After these things, straightway I came to be in Ruach, and lo, a throne stood in heaven. Okay, it will start saying, what? Who's there? You got Jesse Duplantis and everybody else. Everybody's been to heaven. Everybody's got a different thing. You know, there's a whole movie called Heaven is for Real. And people are coming back with revelation upon revelation upon revelation, seeing all their friends and neighbors. And it's all lies. It's demonic lies. But here's really who's in heaven. A throne stood in heaven, and upon the throne was one sitting, and he that was sitting is like appearance to a jasper stone and a sardis, and there was a rainbow round about the throne like to appearance unto an emerald. We're going to find out, this has to be who?
Yahweh.
Not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And round about the throne were 24 thrones. Okay, now we got a throne, and we've got 24 thrones. And upon the throne, 24 elders. Okay, now it's developing who's here, Yahweh and 24 elders, sitting clothed. Who are they? I don't know. Sitting clothed in white garments, and upon their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne are coming forth lightnings and voices and thunderings. And there are seven torches of the fire. We won't go, let's see here. Oh, yeah. We'll keep going. Before the throne, which are the seven spirits of Yahweh. Okay, so we've got the throne, which is Yahweh. We've got the 24 elders are there. And now we've got the seven ruachs of Yahweh, which these are the ones who open up the seven seals in the book of Revelation. One messenger after another are opening up the seal. They're special messengers. Before the throne is a glassy sea like a crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne are four living creatures full of eyes. Okay, now we have four creatures. Who are they? We don't know. But they have eyes before and behind. And the first living creature is like unto a lion. The second living creature is like unto a calf. The third living creature hath the face of a man. And the fourth living creature is like unto an eagle flying. And the four living creatures, each one of them have severally six wings, round about within, full of eyes. And they cease not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Yahweh of hosts, the Almighty who was and who is and who is coming. Let's see here, we got that. Oh, and then we go into, that's basically it on four. And let's go into five, verse six and seven. Now we're going to find one Adam. And instead of calling us humans, we're really Adams. And there's one, and his name is Yahushua.
Where are you there?
Chapter 5, verse 6. And you have to read both chapters, real simple. And I saw in the midst of the throne four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, a lamb. Okay, here's the lamb. Who is the lamb? It's Yahushua. That is the only human being, or the only Adam, who is in the heavens at this particular time until the resurrection happens. There are 24 elders. There are four living creatures. There are seven ruachs, or messengers. And we're going to find out there's a multitude of messengers. But here is the lamb standing, showing that he had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the ruachs of Yahweh sent forth into all the earth. He's the one that opens the scroll. And the ruachs, or the spirits, can go ahead and open up the different plagues. He came out and looked at once out of the right hand of him and was sitting upon the throne. Okay, there it is, real simple. Who's sitting on the throne? Yahweh. Who's taken out of his right hand? Yahushua. There's Yahweh and Yahushua. We all know that. Let's go to verse 11. And I saw and heard a voice of many messengers. Who else is in the heavens? Round about the throne of the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that hath been slain. They didn't see Moses. They don't see Abraham. They don't see Abel. You don't see all the people in the book of Hebrews.
Enough.
You don't see the Apostle Paul. You don't see Elijah. You don't see everybody's, you know, Billy Graham. You know, everybody's supposed to be up there at this particular time. have riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. That's who's in the heavens right now. Because we're waiting for the resurrection where all of a sudden, well, let's just look at 1 Corinthians 15. Kind of finish up.
1 Corinthians 15.
15, yeah. It's all about the resurrection. We have a whole chapter that the Christian church just disregards because it doesn't flow with what they want to believe. So there's a saying, which I like, somebody said, and it says, if you care about somebody, you will tell them the truth. If you care about yourself, you will tell them what they want to hear. So if I want a successful restaurant where I have the most customers as possible, what do I give them?
What they want.
What they want. So if I want a large church, what do I give them? What they want. And I can, if I give them what they want, I will have a large, large restaurant. And I'll tell you what, I know what they don't want. And so what they don't want, I never bring up. So I'm not going to bring up the Democrat Party. I'm not going to bring up Yahweh. I'm not going to bring up Yahushua. I'm not going to bring up the New Earth. You know, because everybody's very happy with what their parents taught them and their grandparents taught them. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there will be. When we all see Jesus, we sing and dance the victory. This is all the songs. Is there any song about the new earth? Not that I know of. It's all about heaven. And, you know, and you're like, and you need to look through the book. No, people are dead. They're waiting to be awakened. That's 1 Corinthians 15. But we receive in 23, here's the rank. But each in his own rank is about, let's say here, 22. For just as in Adam all die, so also in the Christ shall all be made alive. Well, wait a minute, they're already alive. What does that say? Shall be. Future tense, right? Future tense. It doesn't say, for in Adam all die, so also in Christ all are alive.
Right.
No, it doesn't say all. They say, shall all be made alive.
I will be.
And at this order. But each in his own rank, a first fruit Christ, what does that mean? He's the first one who's alive. You know, well, no. Moses is up there, and Elijah's up there, and Elijah up there. Well, why do we need Christ to die if they're already there? We just ask a simple question. If everybody's already there, Christ didn't have to die because Abel was put into heaven by Cain. Well, no, that's going to be paradise. Oh, it's a lesser place? You know, some people will say that, you know, because that's the rich man of Lazarus, you know, it's the bosom of Abraham. Well, is that a lesser place? Is that kind of a torture? Well, no, it can't be that. So you've got just a mess upon a mess upon a mess. Well, Yahweh, it's very simple. You're just asleep. The first fruit of Christ, after that, they who are Christ in his presence, the parousia. Here's the order. Christ was first. Who's the second? 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. The parousia, the coming of Christ, where the sleep shall be awakened. Afterwards, the end. Whensoever he shall deliver up the kingdom unto his God. Oh, he has a God. Yes, Yahushua has a God and Father. Whensoever he shall bring to naught all rule and all authority and power. When is that going to be happening in the book of Revelation? In chapter 19, he comes down and kicks butt. For he must needs reign until he shall put all his enemies under his feet. You know, as we know, he grabbed the adversary and they bound him for 1,000 years. The beast and the false prophet, they threw alive into the lake of fire. There's only three going into the lake of fire alive, and that's the beast, the false prophet, and the serpent. And that's Revelations, you know, 19 and 20. But it's going to be under his feet. The last enemy, death, is to be destroyed. Well, death is not an enemy. The church teaches death puts us with God. Death unites us with God. And I heard one guy said, "It's the port. Death is the portal to heaven."
Well, yeah. Just getting a new direct.
It's just a new address. You know, now it just sets our body. It sets the real me free from this body. You know, it's like the country western song. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but not right now. That's so funny. Well, yeah, if you want to, don't you want to be with Jesus? Well, don't take any vaccines. Yeah, let your kids die. Don't let them go see a doctor, and they're in heaven so much faster. Well, no, then you really don't even believe it, do you? And last enemy, death is to be destroyed, for he put all things in subjection under his feet. Who was he? It was Yahweh putting in under Yahushua his feet. There's two, subjection under his feet. So Yahweh is above Yahushua, yes. Father, Son. But whensoever it shall be said, all things are in subjection, except him, Yahweh, except Yahweh, who put in subjection unto Yahushua the all things. So Yahushua is, everything is subjected to Yahushua except for what?
Yahweh.
Obviously.
Well, Pharaoh and Joseph.
Oh, there's two. Yeah, there's Pharaoh and Joseph. Yeah, it's just two. But whensoever have been put into subjection unto him, unto Yahushua the all things, then the Son himself shall be put into subjection unto Yahweh. Oh, that's not right, because the Son is Yahweh. Right? The Father is the Son, and the Son is the Father, who shall be in subjection unto him who put in subjection unto Yahushua the all things, that Yahweh may be all things in all. Wow. And that is Revelation 21. Because in Revelation 20, death and Sheol are thrown into the lake of fire. No more death ever. But we have 1,000 years where there's going to be death. And that's another thing. Why is there 1,000 years? 1,000 years, Yahushua is rebuilding the temple on the new earth. And so in my opinion, it's going to be a great finishing ground for the people who had not choice to decide whether they want to be on the new earth, bowing to Yahushua and Yahweh, or they want to die, be thrown in the lake of fire. They get to choose. And so they get to be thrown in the lake of fire, whoever doesn't want to go, which is fine. That's fine with me, too. You don't want to be there, I don't want you there. I mean, it'd be hell if they forced you in there. And then everything is finished. Yahushua has nothing now, no more enemies to fight. And so now Yahweh and Yahushua, let's just go to Revelations 21, finish up.
And where?
Revelations 21. I guess really 22. The end of the story. And he pointed out to me a river of water of life, bright as crystal. Remember that in Zechariah. Issuing forth out of the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb. It's not the throne of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's always the same one and two. One and two. In the midst of the broadway thereof. And then he talks about this river, which is all the way through the book of Isaiah. And this river is giving food, and there's called the tree of life. And it appears that we're going to be eating of the tree of life forever. You know, and that's what it is. We think of, we've gotten to a point where all of a sudden, spirit, we've got this spirit, this soul that's immortal that needs nothing. Because it lives forever. It doesn't need food, doesn't need shelter, doesn't need a body, doesn't need anything. All right? Well, according to this, we're going to be eating of the tree of life forever. And that's nutrition. We're going to be plowing, we're going to be hoeing, we're going to be doing all the different promises are in the new earth. We're going to have homes, we're going to have, people that we get to be with. We get to go to the New Jerusalem. We get to see Yahushua. And even in the 1,000-year reign, there's going to be one feast that's pointed out, and it's the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. And why is the Feast of Booths so important? Well, let's just finish up there. I'm sorry.
All right.
Zechariah. And this is very interesting. People don't see this coming on the new earth.
Okay, will you give me a page?
Zechariah 14,
9,
10. I'll just read it to you.
Zechariah, what chapter?
Chapter 14, verse 15. And this is going to be obviously on the new earth, a 1,000-year new earth. And so shall be the plague of the horses and the mule and, you know, let's see. Let's go 11 first and then we'll jump. Let's go 11. So shall men dwell therein, and utter destruction shall not be any more, but Jerusalem shall abide in security. Great. 15. And so shall be the plague of the horse and the mule, the camel and the ass, and all the beasts which shall be in those camps, like this plague. And it shall come to pass, as for everyone that is left out of the nations that came against Jerusalem, for they shall come up from year to year, here they go, they shall come up from year to year to bow down to the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to celebrate what?
The festival.
The festival of booths. And the festival of booths was the harvest. We're on the earth.
Okay.
Is a day of rejoicing for the food that you've received.
Harvest,
so
cool.
Festival of booths is 7 days of rejoicing. Now watch if you don't come up. It's voluntary. Let's read. 17. It shall come to pass that whosoever not come up out of the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to bow down to the King Yahweh of hosts, there shall not on them be any rain. And if the families of Egypt shall not come up and shall not enter in upon whom there falleth none, then shall smite them the plagues wherewith Yahweh did plague the nations because they came not up to celebrate the what?
Festivals
of booths. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations when they come not to celebrate the festival of booths.
Wow.
That's 1,000 years. So 1,000 years, you're ruled by Christ, Satan, the serpent is hidden for 1,000 years, and they should have a perfect world, right? 1,000 years, no adversary. And then he's let loose, and it says, as the sand of the sea, they come up against Yahushua in the capital. You know, I mean, really?
Like that.
Really? Really? After all this, really? You know, yes, really. And we see it in the world all the time. You know, you have a perfectly peaceful place, and there's an uprising to take what you have. So it really comes down to, what is it? I'm going to take what you have. Why? Because I don't want to work for you. I want you to enslave you. And so that's mankind, and that's what Cain did to Abel.
Socialist.
Okay, enough of that. So we'll get to hear from our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Yahushua Mashiach, for pouring out on us Ruach HaKodesh so we can hear from our Heavenly Father through you. Be at peace and dwell in the silence of the night as I speak to you. If you're quiet, and as you are being quiet, you will hear my voice. So at all times, consider who I am, that I abide within you, but you must silence yourself. You must put yourself on pause that you can go ahead, that I can go ahead and communicate with you my will to you according to my word and according to the revelation that you need for your daily moments. Amen. See you next week.
Amen. Thank you.